these cans. Die, milkface! These cans are defective. They're springing leaks. Come over here and look at this.
Listen, you better run for cover. You're going to spring a leak.
Huh?
We don't have defective cans. We have a defective person out there.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans!
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to the best in craft Bonjour. Beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas, and joining me as always is
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this week we are talking about the style. Well, I guess it's not really a style. We're talking about canned sure beers this week, folks.
Cans!
Yeah.
So it's kind of a new trend. As of late, the craft beer industry has taken on canning some of their beers. For our fermentation conversation, it's probably the widest distributed style so far. That would be Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale.
Sweet.
Which will probably soon be eclipsed by the fact that New Belgium is now doing their Fat Tire, which also happens to be my tasting flight this week. Mm. So speaking of tasting flights, Mike, what do you got?
I have New England Brewing Company's Atlantic Amber.
How about you, Toby?
And I'm trying Buckbean Brewing Company's Black Noddy. It's
Bean.
Naughty.
Cool.
Oh, so naughty.
So talking about canning of beers, the first canned beer was released in 1935 by the Kruger Brewing Company of Newark, New Jersey.
Whoa.
That's deep.
Kruger cans.
They were light, quick to chill, and took up less room than bottles in the refrigerator, all of which was very appealing to women, apparently. Mm.
Women dig canned beer. That's cool.
So
we're more, like cool dudes this time in this podcast because we have cans. Hear that, ladies? We have canned
beer. So more recently with the, I mean, obviously canned beers have sort of a negative connotation around them with most of the larger.
They don't like these cans!
Most of the larger breweries doing, you know, cans, your Millers, your Buds. For the portability factor,
super,
and it's a lot,
ultra,
it's a lot
mega
cheaper.
Mega light,
yeah.
6-calorie water.
It's a lot cheaper to produce canned beers than it is to do bottles, because cans are cheaper than bottles. The craft beer industry has sort of latched onto it the last few years because of price, for one, because it is cheaper, but they also noticed that there's a huge advantage to doing this, because
lots of advantages.
Yeah. They're completely opaque, so there's no chance of it skunking because there's no light hitting it. There, no oxygen can get in there, which is different than a bottle, because even when you know, cap a bottle, there's still oxygen that can get into the beer. That doesn't happen.
Which is one of the best. I think that's one of the best features.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I mean, it's
between that and light.
It's actually a very good way to package a beer. Obviously, it's not as, you know, fancy as the bottle and as attractive as the bottle, because we have such a negative connotation with, you know, the whole Joe six pack, you know, standard.
Maybe they could start making curvier cans.
Yeah,
it'd be sexy.
So, like I said, fermentation conversation, Oscar Blues, Dale's Pale Ale. Then we'll move into our hop topics. Do our tasting flight.
We are talking.
Tweet of the week.
What'd you have for breakfast, man? Jeez.
What?
Did you have some Novocaine for breakfast or something?
You know, a little slack jaw.
You want to host?
Novocaine for the soul.
They'll go into the tweet of the week, backwash, and last call. Let's drink some beer.
Yeah.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We're going to
And welcome back to our fermentation conversation section of the show. And I apparently need some more Novocaine. Yeah. Man,
no,
I don't
you
know
don't.
What's up with me today?
I'm going to drink some beer.
So anyway, our fermentation conversation this week is Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale. The brewery is Oscar Blues Cajun Grill and Brewery in Lyons, Colorado. Toby, you been there?
No, I have not.
Website, www.oscarblues.com. That's OSKARBLUES.com. The style of the beer is an American Pale Ale, has an ABV of 6.5%, IBUs are 65. The ingredients, it uses European malts and Centennial hops.
European.
That's about, yeah. Okay. I'm going to read a little paragraph that they include on their website that sort of goes into why they can and that sort of thing, so... Says, in 2002, we became the first U.S. microbrewery to brew and can its own beer. We started hand-canning our beers two at a time on a small tabletop machine. Why cans? We thought the idea of our bold, hoppy pale ale squeezed into a little can was hilarious. It made us laugh for weeks. But then we discovered that the belief that cans impart flavor to the beer is a myth. The modern-day aluminum cans and its lid are lined with a water-based coating, so the beer and the can never touch. Cans, we discovered, are actually good for beer. Cans keep beer especially fresh by protecting it from the light and oxygen. Our cans also hold extremely low amounts of dissolved oxygen, so our beers stay especially fresh for longer. Cans are also easier to recycle and less fuel-consuming to ship. Better still, cans make it easier for beer... What does that say? Fiends. Oh, beer fiends.
Like us.
To enjoy great beer outdoors, where a fine brew is especially satisfying. Our cans also give us big pleasure when we hand somebody the first canned beer they ever got, put goosebumps to ever put goosebumps on
big
their back.
Big pleasure and satisfying.
So these are very portable. You know, yes. You can take them to the beach. You can take them to the park. You can take them, you know, places that don't allow bottles. So that's another cool thing about cans.
They are the laptop of the beer world.
Yeah. It says that their beers are now hand canned on a 5 cans at once machine here at the brewery. But I watched the little video and it was not hand canning.
Well, not
it
anymore.
It was a machine,
right?
That cans them. No, it says they are now hand canned on a 5 cans at once machine. But I watched the video.
Hand canned on a 5 can machine. I like that.
Yeah.
Five hands.
Yeah.
Five people. Or two, three people.
Those hands push buttons and pull levers and monitor
says,
gauges.
Since they began canning, the beers have won loads of honors and accolades and have grown by over 800%. They are now the largest producing brew pub in the United States.
Drink this stuff?
Wow.
So that's interesting. Just hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta go through the stuff.
Oh!
A couple of... Okay, crack them.
Yeah, the Ahlstrom brothers didn't weigh in on this one either. I just want to state that for the record. So we decided we're going to take a sip from the can first. We thought it was appropriate.
So trying to smell it, you can't really smell anything through the can.
Although I do taste hops.
I get some hops.
Yeah, it's hard to review from the can, but we figured it was appropriate to at least take a sip from the can, knowing that you would probably drink this from the can if you're actually going to buy it in cans.
And honestly, it's not bad from the can.
The hops, that's nice. I've never actually tasted a hoppy beer from a can. That's a pleasant surprise.
Okay,
and this
so
was
now
rated like in
pour them into pint glasses.
Details magazine said it was like the best canned beer period or something like that. They got quite a few awards and recognition. And
so after pouring it into the glass, I have about a finger of head. I have about a finger of head.
I do.
Nice golden color. Pretty bubbly. I'm definitely getting more of the floral hops in the aroma.
Nice orange in color.
Yeah.
It's a nice hop flavor.
Some honey.
Very good hop flavor.
Yes. Very well balanced. Toby, you're right. Some honey in there. Kind of the sweet maltiness.
It's a good, easy drinking beer.
It is. Yeah.
Especially if you like this beer a lot.
More on the hoppy side.
If you like hoppy beers, it's almost like a... And we had that Dogfish Head that one time, and they said that it was a session IPA. Well, I feel like this is kind of like a good hoppy session pale ale.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, you know, along the lines of like the Sierra Nevada mm-hmm. pale ale. It's a little on the hoppier end of the pale ale scale. Pale ale scale. You like that?
Pale ale scale.
And I said it without sounding like I was on Novocaine.
I think there's a really good amount of hops in here. I like it.
It's not. It doesn't have that over bitter sweetness that we get from like a really strong IPA, but it definitely has the floral character and the citrus on the sides of the tongue.
It's got a sweet malt character to it too, or in like a crystal malt even.
Yeah.
Hmm. Has a nice kind of bitter, grassy bitter finish.
Yeah, there is some grassiness in there.
Kind of a dry.
I'm a big fan
aftertaste.
It's a different experience because I obviously wasn't expecting. I have to say I was expecting this to be good, but you still just in the back of your head, you just opened a can of beer and poured it in. So, you know, your expectations, I think, are obviously swayed.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show is because I wanted to kind of see where that, because this is the first can microbrew I've had. You know, I drank it before now, but this was the first one. And it's much better than you expected it to be. It's a very good pale ale.
It almost tastes like some oily
compared to drinking it out of the can.
I don't know. I want to say hop oil, but it's not quite that. It's, I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. There's some good
earthy.
There's a little bit of oiliness. But when you compare drinking it from the can out of the glass, it seems like out of the can it might have been a little more bitter up front.
Yeah.
But still very clean and I didn't get any kind of, it wasn't any kind of metallic bitterness.
No, me neither. And it's not as carbonated as I think I was expecting it to be. But it's still crisp. I think mine could stand to be maybe a little bit colder.
Mike, would you pair this with anything?
I would say like a chicken. You know, I never pair anything with Italian food because we always tend to think that it goes with wine. But I think that like a chicken marsala with like garlic mashed potatoes, you know, something like that would be good with this. Because it doesn't have an overwhelming, it's not super, you know, spicy hop that you'd have to, I think it's just a good solid beer for a dish like that. How about you guys?
Yep, I agree.
I'm thinking maybe some fried chicken. you said chicken and I was like, ooh, that's, yeah, fried chicken.
Fried sounds, chicken with?
That
was
good.
Just recently, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I forget what beer it was.
I think we all did the classic American dishes.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say some fried chicken and some coleslaw, maybe.
Yeah,
good picnic beer, I guess. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
you know, maybe some macaroni salad and whatever.
Yeah, I actually had this last night with I made a cilantro lime chicken with some mashed potatoes and grilled artichokes. That was really good, and this went really well with
the
that.
The chickens have it, ladies and gentlemen. Nice. The chickens have it.
Ooh, maybe you could make some beer can chicken with this, and it would be awesome.
Oh,
there you go.
Very good idea.
That'd be a good beer to make some chicken with. Can I change my food pairing?
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Welcome to the Hop Topics. Mike, take it away.
Whoa, that was quick. All right, my Hop Topic today, the title is economy unleashes perfect storm for boutique beer. One of the reasons why I want to boutique talk to this, beer. This is from Reuters.com. It's R-E-U-T-E-R-S.
Reuters.
Sorry, now I feel like a real idiot. Thanks for that.
You should.
I should know Reuters.com. boutique beers are the new cocktail as more money-conscious Americans choose cheaper, high-quality draft beers made by small local breweries over wine and spirits. So there's a few little key points about this article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but bottom line is you can buy an exceptional glass of beer for half the price of a mediocre glass of wine, says New York beer maker Kelly Taylor.
And take that, wine drinkers!
Yeah, take that, wine drinkers. And also, Catherine Saylard, owner of a French bistro called Icy, says private parties are increasingly requesting local-made craft beers rather than wine and spirits. She goes on to say, I wouldn't say that beer has the same complexity as wine, but it's not supposed to, said Saylard.
But that's because she doesn't know what she's talking about because she's French.
Oh, French listeners. It says, it's unpretentious. You don't need to know the grape, which there's, I think there's some valid points to that, which is, I think, one of the reasons why we like beer is, I don't know. Anyway, that's my hot topic. If you
but
want,
that's
I mean, it's one woman's opinion.
Not to be rude, but that's an ignorant statement. I mean, knowing the hop that's used is very beneficial in if you know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, just as beneficial as a grape would be for wine. So, I mean, it's an ignorant thing to say. Not being rude, but it she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah, because on the same note, they talk about like there's other parts in the article that says the. They're talking about a particular beer. They say the bite of the hops and the citrus of the Belgian yeast cuts through the sweetness of the cornbread. Now, to me, that's a complex beer that they're talking about, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. It's not something simply that you're going to be able to pick up. Because when I give craft beer to people I know, they're just like, oh, this is way too bitter, or this tastes like lemon, or this... But they, you know, they're not picking out these things because they
just like anybody who first comes to wine would be the same way, right. You know, it's like, well, I don't like this. It's too sweet, or it's too, you know, it's the same
it's too
thing.
Dry.
It depends on your level of comfortability and experience with drinking that beverage. You know, I don't have nearly as much experience drinking wine as say, you know, Crazy Dave would. So he's going to find a lot more things in a glass of wine than I would. You know, by that same token, I'm going to find, you know, lots more complex things in beer than somebody else. Not necessarily Dave, but, you know, anybody that's not used to drinking a good craft beer.
I love the fact that...
Please understand, people, this is not a slight against beer, against wine again. This is just
wine again. But the good point is, though, I mean, you could buy a really good craft beer for, like they were saying, half the price of a mediocre glass of wine. You can go out and get a really...
Now why is that?
Why is that? Well, that's a good question. That's I can't.
Well, I mean,
that,
is it because they're taking advantage of the fact that maybe wine is a more high class type of drink, or
it's possible. I mean, I don't know what the cost.
I've had really good
wine to compare
$2 bottles of wine.
It's interesting because
but we're beer drinkers saying that.
Yeah. Talking from a capitalist point of view, you know, there's a lot more competition in the wine industry than there is in the beer industry.
Right now,
go into any, you know, liquor store or, you know, even a high-end grocery store, you're going to find a lot more wines than you will beers.
Right. Yep.
So.
Well, that's it.
Oh, you know, and it also just comes down to personal... taste, you know, if you think it's good, no matter what the price is, you know, if you like it, sweet.
If you like Miller, there's no excuse. Anyway, Toby, go on.
Well, I was gonna let everybody know about the Green Dragon out of Portland, Oregon, is hosting their inaugural mini beer fest, and the mini beer fest is it's pretty much small breweries that are 1,000 barrels a year or less. No more than 1,000 barrels a year is what they're going to produce. So they're going to be at this beer festival. It's on August 29th and August 30th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. And in Portland, Oregon, the breweries that are going to be there, to name a few, Alameda Brewing Company, Klamath Basin Brewing Company, Vertigo, Block 15, Eugene City, which I think is owned by Rogue, I think. Mm. Hair of the Dog Brewing Company.
Are they cheating?
Just to name a few. I actually got this, the email was from Rogue. They sent out the email to my, so I got it in my inbox. But Green Dragon is actually a restaurant, beer bar in Portland. They've got, looks like they've got tons of really good stuff on tap there. Mm. I love anyway, that, the mini beer fest.
That one brewery says it says 10 Barrel Brewing Company, just to give you a perspective of how large the brewery is.
Yeah.
10 Barrel Brewing.
The mini beer fest is 100% dog friendly, so you can bring your dogs. It's $10. And when with that admission, you receive 5 taster tickets. Additional tickets are sold for $1 each. Now, the Green Dragon was listed by Imbibe magazine. Imbibe?
We're really bad at this today. It's like, if we just take a step back for a second, we totally understand what the word was. Reuters.
Imbibe Reuters magazine is the
Reuters VB.
100 best places to drink beer in America. Jeez.
I just want to say that.
So anyway,
try bringing
and by Draft Magazine also calls it one of the best beer bars in America.
Oh.
And Draft Magazine's a good magazine.
Try bringing your dog to your next wine tasting. All right, see what happens there. All right,
Derek? Yeah, seriously.
Talk about.
So August 29th and 30th in Portland. If you want more information, check out pdxgreendragon.com, or I'm sure rogue.com has some information on it too.
So. Cool.
Check it out. Mini beer fest. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So for my hop topic this week, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a little while, which is just talk about some new releases that are coming out. I'm usually talking about something more specific, but...
Usually ranting.
Yeah, I'm usually ranting. I'm not going to do that this week. The first one that I wanted to talk about was St. Arnold Brewing, who's one of the local breweries here in Texas.
All hail St. Arnold.
They're releasing their Divine Reserve 8, which is a strong Scotch ale based on the winning recipe of the Big Batch Brew Bash.
Big Batch Brew Bash.
Basically a home brewers contest. The winning brewer, Philip Kaufman, worked with St. Arnold on this beer. So kind of this along the same lines as
Isn't he dead?
Sam Adams did.
Who, what? No. St. Arnold's not dead?
Probably.
We got to get him on the podcast.
Something else I found interesting was that the brewery is actually continuing to maintain a year-to-year growth above 20%. So they're growing every year, which is nice for, you know, craft brewers to 1400 see
1400 strong and growing.
What? For the Flintstone firemen of the beer industry.
The other one I wanted to talk about was a beer out of Nashville, Tennessee from Yazoo Brewing. It's their first high alcohol content beer called Sue. S-U-E. It's a smoked porter that's brewed with cherry wood smoked malts.
Beer
which
name
very
Sue.
Interesting. Yeah, beer name Sue.
I'd call him Steve or Bob or Billy or something.
Nice. Johnny Cat. So those are really the only things I have. Not too exciting this week, but sounds like some interesting stuff coming out of the couple of the craft breweries out of the middle of the country.
Yeah. So sounds good.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right. For my tasting flight, I have chosen New England Brewery's Atlantic Amber. This is an amber beer.
From the Atlantic?
Yes. It is from New England Brewing Company out of Woodbridge, Connecticut. Their website
is... And that would be on the Atlantic coast?
Yes. www.newenglandbrewing.com. The ABV on this beer is 5, as Chris would say, 0.0% ABV.
Please.
Rate beer. Rate
trying to be accurate, man.
Rate beer rate. Get more accurate than 63 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users rate this AB+, and the Ahlstrom brothers, guess what, folks, have not weighed in on this beer. This is New England Brewery's, or Brewing Company, sorry, I keep saying that, New England Brewing Company's flagship beer. It's the thing that's kind of unique about this particular beer is they use the American steam style of brewing, and if you want to know anything about steam beer, I think we should just toss that to the beer jargon guy.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is steam beer. Steam beer may be defined as a highly effervescent beer made by brewing lager yeasts at ale fermentation temperatures, and in turn creates a sweeter, richer beer.
All right, I hope that summed up the definition of steam beer for you.
Thanks, beer jargon guy. You're the best. You're the best.
So an interesting note about this beer is this won the 1993 Great American Beer Festival in the alt beer category.
Which... It's time to win another medal, folks. Jeez, 93?
Yeah, 93,
I know. Heck? Where you been?
I know, it's 93. So I'm going to crack it open and take a sip from the can with respect to the can.
See, Toby, that's what it should sound like.
Something was wrong with my can, I swear.
Uh-huh. Different smell than the Dales for sure. It's a very sweet malt smell. It's hard to smell out of the can, but that's what I'm getting. I'm going to take a sip.
Are you afraid you're going to cut your nose?
It has a very Scottish ale type flavor without being able to smell it. I'm going to pour it into the glass. See if we can get some more here. More aromas.
I love that sound. I'm thirsty.
Mm. Oh, it's a good smelling beer. I like it. It's a amberish color. Orange bordering on amber.
Glass.
Guinness. Yes, I'm pouring this into a regular pint glass. It's kind of hazy. I'm wondering if that's my glass or the beer. Hard to tell. It's kind of cold right now.
Helps if you clean them.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I don't get around to dishes too often. It's got a very doughy malt smell to it.
Doughy.
Maybe some herbal hops. I'm amazed at the caramel... Like a really caramely malt flavor to this. It's got some, it's like a really nutty caramel malt, almost like a good nut brown. It's weird that I keep tossing all these different styles at it, but
yeah,
that's kind of how I feel with this. It's like Scottish ale, it's like a nut brown. There's something to be said about that steam beer, I guess, and because I'm not a big fan of lager yeast, but I'm liking this. Got kind of a medium mouthfeel. I almost want to say it's like a really roasty Oktoberfest too. I know I'm throwing a bunch of different styles out there, but it's just what's coming to me. So I'm just, I know. I really like it. It's just got a really good caramel malty character to it.
So it's a Scottish nut brown Oktoberfest.
You like that? And it's an amber.
Roasted.
I don't know about roasted. You know, I did say roasted, but I don't think it's roasted. It's more of the, just a nutty caramel malt
So now you're just getting out of control.
It's interesting. Very interesting. I would maybe pair this with maybe some like beef stroganoff.
That sounds good.
This is a good beer. I was not expecting this at all. When I you hear amber and I just wasn't expecting this.
You're
that's
amber
it for me. I'm
going to
finish
alert.
Drinking this. So you guys can drink yours. I'm going to keep sipping on this. I wish I bought more of this.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Oh, hello.
Now it's Toby's turn.
Thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, come on, coasters.
So this is Toby. I'm out here in the west. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Takes off his shoes, changes into his slippers, puts on his cardigan sweater.
Put on my cardigan. Hang on a sec. Okay, so this is Buckbean
neighborhood.
This is Buckbean Brewing Company. They're out of Reno, Nevada. So I'm doing a native Nevadan. Buckbean Brewing Company. They've been brewing since 2007, so they're just babies.
New one.
And their website is buckbeanbeer.com.
I like their website. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Nicely designed.
Mike likes the music.
Beer song radio. There's a little beer song radio, like old school radio. It's funny. Just check it out. It's plays all kinds of beer songs for you.
So
I got a kick out of it today.
This is the Black Naughty Lager, and it's a traditional Schwarz beer. The ABV is 5.2%. I couldn't find any info on the IBUs. You could cellar this at 40 to 45 degrees, and you serve it at 45 to 50. So it's actually pretty warm from a traditional. What I would think, you know, canned beers, you expect canned beers to be pretty cold. This one,
especially
they're actually saying, right. They're actually saying, I mean, this is coming from Beer Advocate, so this actually wasn't from the Buckbean website, so I don't know how accurate this is.
Coming from Beer Advocate, did the brothers weigh in on this one?
Actually, they didn't. So
So they'll tell you the temperature of the beer that it should be served at, even though they haven't tried it at that temperature.
Yeah,
I think it should be colder. Okay, beer coasters have a new temperature for this beer.
You can find
these.
You know,
you haven't tried it either.
You can find these in the 1-pint cans that they have in 4-packs. You can also find it on draft if you're lucky. The ingredients that they use are Munich caramel and honey malts, and it's hopped with Noble Aroma varieties, which I'm not sure what varieties they're using. An interesting note, Buckbean takes its name from the buckbean plant. It's an herb that grows in the Tahoe Meadows and the mountain bogs in North America and Eurasia.
The leaves, make beer from it?
The leaves have been traditionally used as a substitute for hops in brewing, as well as an herbal remedy for scurvy and stomach ailments. Buckbean's flagship beers, they actually only can two of their beers, which is the Black Naughty and the original Orange Blossom Ale. Everything else they have is on draft, and I think you can only find...
They have an Orange Blossom Ale too, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they call it the original, so I think that they actually are the original Orange... Blossom Ale. Rate Beer gave
like
this a
honey. Is it like a honey brown or a honey something?
No, I'm not sure. Right now, I'm doing the Black Naughty.
No.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
We'll save that for an Orange Blossom episode.
Yeah, we'll find three awesome. Yeah, we'll see if we can find three Orange Blossom beers.
Four.
We'll be lucky to find Rate three.
Rate Beer gave this a 68 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B, and like I said, the Alston brothers have not weighed in. So I'm cracking it. Listen, wait for it.
Wait for it.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Hey, Toby, what's a Black Naughty?
It's a bird.
Oh.
Sweet.
So smelling it, it's not very...
I thought you were going to ask the beer jargon guy. I was like, really? You're going to ask the beer jargon guy what the Black Naughty is? I'm sure he'd tell you, but
taking a whiff from the can, I get lots of kind of a the lagering yeastiness, breadiness to it. There's really no hops, kind of earthy yeastiness.
Maltiness. Most Schwartz beers, I think, are very malty.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because on the can it says Black Naughty Lager, but then places like Beer Advocate call it a Schwartz beer. Maybe it's because it's called the Black Naughty and it's a black lager. The Schwartz beers
they
are
haven't
basically
tasted it, one
black
or the other.
Beers. So I'm going to take a sip out of the can.
As far as lagers go, I will say that I like the black lager style.
Yeah, I do too. Because they're nice and sweet. I like them.
This is pretty good. It's kind of thin, though. Not a whole lot of body. There's some bitterness. There's some dryness. There's some good coffee notes to it. Very coffee, kind of a dry coffee. Maybe a little bit of bitter chocolate. This is good. This is kind of like a very drinkable porter so far. So that was one sip out of the can.
Schwartz beers in general are usually very light in body.
I'm going to pour it into
deep in color.
Into the glass now. It's got a good Coca-Cola kind of color to it. You know, the kind of reddish brown color. A nice light brown head, kind of fizzy. I get it. I had to stop before finished pouring, so I've got about a finger and a half of head. Looking through the glass, you can kind of see there's some nice ruby highlights, but it's pretty dark. You know, it's a dark brown with some ruby highlights. I can see some particles floating around in there too, some chunks of something. And then smelling
chunky
it
beer
from the glass. There's a little bit of hops. There's some sweetness, and there's a little bit of hops in there. It's kind of a caramel, chocolatey kind of aroma. Now I'm going to sip it from the glass.
I'm so tempted to hit the little beer songs radio right now.
Now that it's in the glass, the coffee is less prevalent. It's not there as much. It's still very thin body, kind of watery, very chuggable. I mean, you could chug one of these real easy. It's got some good flavor to it, some good coffee, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of bitterness, some sugary sweetness in the end. All in all, very drinkable. This is pretty good. Kind of like a little creamy too, kind of a creamy coffee, kind of latte maybe, if you will.
Latte with water.
Yeah, a watered down latte. There you go.
Watered down latte.
As far as pairing this with something, I would go with a cheesecake.
Nice.
I think this would be good after dinner.
The Black Forest cheesecake
with a nice mild cheesecake, nothing too overpowering of a cheesiness, but yeah,
that sounds good.
This is pretty good.
That seems like it'd really bring out the roastedness in it, because
there's
nothing better than like a good cup of coffee with cheesecake. Mm-hmm. Like coffee never tastes better than when you're eating it with cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
I agree.
So that's it for me.
I agree, sir.
Can I drink now?
Buckbean Brewing Company out of Reno, Nevada. Black Naughty Lager. Peace out.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
My turn.
No, wait.
Okay, so
I was trying to do my cricket noise, but it wasn't working.
For my tasting flight this week, I am doing New Belgium's Fat Tire. Out of the can. I'm sure most people have heard of Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewing. They recently started canning the beers.
So you probably haven't had it yet.
It is New Belgium Brewing out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Let me guess, Toby, you've been there?
Yes, we know that I've been there.
The website is www.newbelgium.com. The style is an American Amber Ale. an ABV of 5.2. Couldn't find the ingredients on this, so I actually looked at some homebrew websites to see what the clones were using. And they seem to be using the Willamette and Fugel hops with a couple different types of crystal malts, Carapils, Munich, Cheater. Biscuit, chocolate malts. So a lot of different stuff going into this one. Interesting note, it was this
that
beer.
Entire, I think New Belgium, but New Belgium in general is all about their yeast.
Yeah.
They seem, you know, they seem to be very.
Yeah, I think so.
Secretive about that.
Interesting note, this beer is named in honor of the founder Jeff's bike trip through Belgium. Fat Tire Amber Ale marks a turning point in the young electrical engineer's homebrewing. Belgian beers use a far broader palette of ingredients, fruits, spices, esoteric yeast strains, like you were saying, than German or English styles. Jeff found the Belgian approach freeing. Upon his return, Jeff created Fat Tire and Abbey Belgian Ale. Assuming Abbey...
Belgians make the best beer.
Yeah. Assuming Abbey would be his big gun. I think we're doing an Abbey show in a few weeks, and I think that's what we picked for our fermentation conversation for that week.
Which one?
The
Abbey.
The New Belgian Abbey. So these were sort of the first two beers that he created, and then he and his wife... What?
I thought we picked Omegang.
Well, we may have.
It's okay. Continue.
Then I'll be doing this one. So he and his wife, Kim... traveled around sampling their homebrews to the public, and Fat Tire's appeal quickly appeared evident. People liked everything about it except for the name. Fat Tire won fans with its sense of balance, toasty, biscuit-like, blah, 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 blah. Talking about the flavor, which I'll talk about in a minute. Rate Beer 52, Beer Advocate Users a B, Alstrom Brothers a B. So they actually have tasted this one.
Wow, we have one weighed in by the Alstrom Brothers. Yeah. Thank you, Alstrom Brothers.
Thank you. So with that, I will...
Don't you feel good about Belgian brewing?
Ooh, cracked it open, taking a whiff of it out of the can. Biscuits. Lots of biscuit.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Those biscuity malts are coming through. Not much hop character. It's so hard to adequately... You know, check the aroma coming through the tiny little hole in the can.
Yeah.
That you have a small nose.
Which I do not. So, on the taste, those biscuits are there. It's not bad out of the can. I've had it other ways that are better.
Like on draft or...
So, ask that biscuit... Still not a whole lot of malt bitterness. It's very, very malty. Especially for an amber. It's a little maltier than I would have expected. Pour it into the glass now.
Very, and only because I've had Fat Tire before. That I mean, they're both... mine was an amber this week, too. And it's amazing how different these styles are.
Yep.
They're both considered amber, and they're so, so different.
So I've got about a finger and a half of frothy off-white head. Very golden
light
in color.
Casting through.
Yeah. Very golden in color.
The hand of God is touching the beer.
Lots of carbonation coming up from the bottom. On the aroma coming out of the glass, I'm getting more of that biscuit. Still not much hops coming out of there. It's a very yeasty scent to it.
Yeah, I've noticed that with a lot of the New Belgium beers. It's very, very yeasty. Mm. Like Mike said, they're big on their yeast.
Super yeasty. Super ultra mega biscuit bread yeasty.
It's smooth and creamy. I can't say much more than biscuit. I'm not getting any hops at all.
Hmm.
Malty, creamy, but not in a bad way. It actually tastes pretty good. Maybe a little bit of fruit sweetness, some cherries maybe.
Are you getting any biscuit?
Yeah, like biscuits with a
big old loaf of bread. stuffed in there.
Biscuits with a butter and some cherry jam on top. That's kind of the way to describe it. Sounds and actually, good. That's what I would pair it with.
It's a breakfast beer.
Nice. We should it's advocate tasty. The breakfast beers. We should start pairing our beers with breakfast stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good hearty.
Just because the state says breakfast. You can't buy beer after a certain time doesn't mean you can't drink beer at any time. That's why I love Nevada.
Yeah, anytime in Nevada.
Yeah, me, I gotta wait till noontime on Sundays, which is so ridiculous.
Same here. Texas, being a huge football town, or football state, and you can't buy beer until after noon on Sundays, even though most of the football games come on before noon.
Ridiculous.
What are you supposed to do?
It just seems silly to me.
You gotta plan ahead.
Am I supposed to plan ahead?
So they're just telling you, okay, just buy it the night before? What's the point?
It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
And that's my rant for the week. Let's move on.
Star Witness says, "Pardon me, can you hold my beer? I have to put my pants back on."
It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the beer coaster's email and hotline.
Welcome to this here, our backwash segment of this week's episode. Got a couple pieces of podcast backwash.
Couple pieces of
Mike, pod. What do you got?
Well, my piece of podcast backwash is from Charlie. And he writes, "So, I'm at Tornado with Summers drinking oak-aged stone smoke porter on cask. It might be the best beer I've ever tasted. I
love stone smoke porter and
Roush.
This
oak aged on the cask.
It sounds incredible. Awesome. And I'm very jealous that I wasn't able to have a pint of this. So that's a Charlie's backwash to kind of rub it in that he's in San Diego, California, drinking good beer.
I'm getting used to the whole jealousy thing of hearing what they get to try, but whatever.
Anyway,
next we have Crazy Dave with a slight little bit of audio backwash. What do you guys say, Dave?
Hey, Beer Coasters, this is Crazy Dave. I just got back from the Stone 13th Anniversary Celebration and Invitational Beer Festival. Looks like they had about 36 or 37 different breweries presenting about 148 different beers. It was a pretty good festival. The weather was absolutely perfect for San Diego, California. And we talked to some people, did some interviews, and drank a bunch of beer. Had a good time, and hope for you guys to check out some of the videos that I sent and some of the audio, and hopefully you guys will put it on the podcast. Anyhow, talk to you guys soon. Have a good one. Bye.
And with that, why don't we hear what they got from the Stone Anniversary Party.
And now it's time to hit the road with Beer Coasters.
Coast to coast. Yeah. Breweries. Brewmasters.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave here at the Beer Coasters podcast. We're at the Stone Brew Fest. It's the 13th anniversary, and we're here with...
Mark.
Katie.
Nick.
Chrissy.
Tim.
John.
Hey, guys, how's it going? What were some of your favorite beers here today?
We had some good beers from Lost Abbey.
Lost Abbey.
Lost Lightning.
Lightning is
Pizza Port, all right, that's a favorite.
Lost Abbey myself.
Lost Abbey.
I'm going with Lost Abbey too.
You guys are all local here from San Diego? No, Where are you from?
County.
Temecula Street.
Temecula. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm from Temecula, too.
Temecula.
All right. Good job, guys.
So we're drinking the Backstreet Brewing, what is this, Monkey Love, which is Belgian Double. It's really, really yeasty, bready, kind of sweet. Crazy Dave says it tastes like a banana sandwich. Just not really impressed.
Light beer tasting here. We're with Avery Brewing Company's 15th anniversary ale. Charlie?
This is the 15th anniversary. It's very light, citrus, a lot of carbonation. It's almost a fizzy yellow beer.
What does it smell like, Charlie?
Dirty diapers.
Yes, it kind of smells like a kindergarten room. To describe it, but baby powder.
It smells like 5-year-old kids.
5-year-old kids, exactly. That's just what it smells like. It's almost like a fizzy Hefeweizen, like Hefeweizen with a little bit more carbonation. It's tasty. It tastes a lot better than it smells. So.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
Mike.
Mike Holmes.
Over on there.
All right, what were you guys' favorite beers here today?
The Tijuana Ale.
Tijuana Ale, really?
The Self-Righteous Stone.
Sublimely Self-Righteous.
That's right.
The Double Dead.
What's that?
The Double Dead.
Double Dead?
You're so
Double
gothic.
Dead.
Double
Rogue.
Dead. Dead Guy.
Dead Guy Rogue. Rogue.
Ruination.
Ruination. Another stone beer.
Pear Cider?
Yeah. All right. Racer 5, you like that, huh?
Really?
I didn't like that beer too much.
Really?
Except for you, dude. I loved it.
Am I going to get my butt kicked?
Maybe. She's tough, man. She's tough. Watch out.
So this is the Stone Maui Brewing Collaboration, Kona Coffee, Macadamia, and Coconut Porter, which I can tell is really good for coffee lovers. I just hate coffee. So, not for me. But I can tell that they did a really good job on it, though, if you like coffee. So, for a coffee porter, A+.
So, this may not be a beer for Charlie, but I like it a lot. There's quite a bit of coffee, which some people probably like and some people maybe not. What I thought was kind of cool is that the macadamia nut kicks in after the coffee kind of floats off a little bit. But I think it's a great porter, and I really like it. Good job, guys. What was the other beer you liked?
Allagash.
Alesmith Barley.
That was nice.
Alesmith?
Alesmith Barley is strong.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the what?
Hey, if they had Bud Light, that's what I
thought. Pop Stupid is pretty.
Pop Stupid. This guy likes the TJ beer and the Bud Light.
Bud Light.
He's a light man. Hey everyone, this is Crazy Dave. I'm here with
I'm David.
David.
Rick.
Dan.
Yo.
Larry.
Roy.
And I was just wondering what beers you guys enjoyed today?
All the porters, anything dark.
Anything dark, anything in particular?
We like the stone Chipotle.
Chipotle porter. Did you try the vanilla bean or just the
no,
Chipotle?
I didn't like the vanilla bean.
I like the vanilla.
You like the vanilla. I think you're probably one of the few.
Yeah,
it's
a little light.
A little
Speedway
light.
Speedway Stout from Al Smith was probably the best stout good. I had.
And
Speedway
the Calabunga was good.
The Calabunga? The cream ale, right?
Yeah.
What about you? What was your favorite beer?
It was a Belgian red beer. I don't remember what it's called.
You don't remember what it's called?
Red beer.
Yeah.
And we're washing it down with ciders.
Ciders.
Cleanse the palate.
You're finishing the night with the cider, huh? That's your last ticket, or you got any more?
No, I got one more, but I'm going to trade it for a kiss.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there's plenty of good-looking girls here today, right? How about you? What was your favorite beer today?
The best one was the Cowabunga.
Cowabunga.
The guys on the Cowabunga, and they took it from there.
Right on. Roy?
Maui coconut beer.
The women were definitely incredible, but I'm intoxicated, so I took notes. So when I sober up tomorrow, I'll review these. But there are too many to mention. I just, essentially, anything dark, including the women, were great.
Did you try the Stone Maui?
I tried all the women, but I made an attempt to.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you luck on that.
Well, you know, they would only give me a sample of each beer, and the women wouldn't give me any samples at all. So I know you guys tried too.
Yeah.
I'm driving.
Pure we want to read his notes in the morning.
Porter, stouts, we're all good.
There you go. Seriously, the Lost Abbey Angel's Share I thought was quite good.
The Angel's
Share.
Share.
Yeah, that was quite excellent.
What did you like about that beer?
Well, it's heavy and it's got a lot of alcohol, but I mean,
it had
a lot of flavor.
Have you tried the Stone 13th Anniversary?
Yes,
I did. Yeah,
excellent.
It was almost like a barley wine. It was a little strong for me, but it was a good beer.
It's a lot of hops and a lot of barley. It's a lot of everything.
It's
almost
a barley wine. Yeah.
Right.
13th Anniversary was excellent. That truly was. We had two of them. One was regular, and then another one was a different hops. That was good.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you guys not do? Good.
Yeah.
High five. Here we go. No, but seriously, my name is Crazy Dave. I'm from the Beer Coasters podcast, and we're just
from where?
Beer Coasters.
No. Oh, sorry.
No, we're from the Beer Coasters podcast, and they do reviews on beers from coast to coast, and we just want to know what you guys thought about some of the beers that you tasted here.
Maui.
Delicious.
Maui.
What was your name?
Maui.
Kim. Kim likes the Maui. Which one did you try?
Right,
okay, it's gonna be audio only. It's a podcast.
Okay, what did I have?
Blonde. Why are you playing it?
Bikini Blonde.
Bikini Blonde.
I like her.
I'm Leanne.
Leanne, hi,
oh,
Leanne.
It's on camera.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
What did you like, Leanne?
The Rogue from.
The Rogue. Yeah. Which one of the Rogues did you try?
The Pilsner.
The Pilsner. Okay.
Hello.
Leanne, what's your friend's name here?
My name's Noah.
Maui Brewing.
Jimmy, what is it? Trevor Wine.
All right. What about you?
Try this one.
My name's Melissa.
And I'm all over
that
the ciders.
That would be Mel.
The ciders.
Mel and Mel.
And I'm Mel, too.
Mel times two.
Hold on, I'll tell you.
What are you drinking, Mel times two?
I don't know.
Cider.
Maui.
Hey, look
Maui.
At those eyes, though. Woo-hoo.
Dude.
So the ciders are a favorite in Maui. Not going to be a video. It's going to be audio. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your input.
Thanks. She had got us before.
My brother did not pay right now.
Okay, so the Stone 13th was really, really good. Had it before, but having it off of the keg was excellent. I'm trying to think of the other one. What was the... This is bad for video keeping, dude, because...
It's just for the audio. Don't worry. What's happening? What's your name?
Margaret. Hi.
Margaret, hey, this is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Thanks for stopping by.
Nice. Always the lady.
That's right. I lost my train of thought.
Why is that exactly?
Because you had these on your shoulder. Hey, everyone, this is Crazy Dave from the BeerCoastersPodcast.com. And we're here.
Stone 08 barley wine and the red wine barrels.
What were some of the disappointments today?
It's hard. The only disappointment was that we've had some of this stuff before.
I only got 10 tickets.
But you know what? If only you're from here, tickets. That's going to be your problem. So,
right.
If you have the option to go Stone on a weekly basis,
most
you're not going to run into having a problem finding beers.
Did you guys try the Dogfish Head at all?
I did.
Palo Santo, Estina Pesh,
yes.
90-minute IPA.
Yes!
They got a collaboration
phenomenal.
Coming out with
delicious.
Collaboration.
Dogfish Head Sierra Nevada collaboration. I'm ecstatic for that.
Good job. What was your name?
Anthony.
Julian.
Derek.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Okay, another really good one was the
Hey, what's happening?
Republic Hop Rod Rye.
What's your name?
My name is Jennifer.
Jennifer, hey, what's happening?
Hi.
Thanks
hot
for joining
blonde
the
girl. Hot blonde girl, yeah. Nice. Hey, what's your guys' favorite beer so far?
All of them.
Come on, you gotta have one.
Okay, the brewery, the really super.
Tijuana Brewery.
Oh, Tijuana Brewery.
Tijuana Brewery. But you like the brewery from Orange County, right?
The brewery, yeah.
All right then.
Brewery. Excellent choice.
Cool.
Oh, let's see. I was really impressed. 13th, of course.
Have you guys tried the Stone collaborations yet?
Yeah. No, but well, I tasted it, but I need to get my own.
Well, you better get in line. There's a long line for it. All right.
Sorry.
The Kona macadamia,
the
that's good.
The collaboration, the coconut porter. Excellent. The Bear Republic Hop Rod Rye. Excellent. Had never had it before. It's a red with a little bit of a rye IPA taste to it. You know, some hops, but definitely that rye flavor. Really good balance. I usually like their Racer 5 IPA. Dave was not a fan. I believe it felt weightless. Yeah, he didn't like it so much. I usually like it, but you know.
All right, everybody, last call.
And welcome to our last call segment. This is the segment where we go through our pint ratings and wrap up anything else that we needed to talk about this week that we forgot to earlier. Oh, sorry. So, last call. Deep, get your drinks in.
Deep thoughts with beer coasters.
Oh, Mike, what do you got for your pint ratings?
Oh, geez. You sprung that on me.
Sprung it on. You knew yeah, what segment we were doing.
I know. Okay. For the Dale's Pale Ale, I rate it 4 pints. I think it was, if we're doing this can thing as a particular style, it's one of the best canned beers I can think of having. I rated 4 pints. On the New England Breweries Atlantic Amber, I also rated 4 pints for different reasons. But it's, the flavor in this beer is great, and like I said, I'm very disappointed I didn't have a, bought more of this. I will definitely buy more of this beer. And what I didn't mention as far as flavor, I kept saying caramel, and what I really meant, I think, was toffee, because it's a very toffee malt type taste. So, that's my ratings. Thank you.
For my Dale's Pale Ale, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great... If you're gonna drink beer out of a can, it's got to be this one. I mean, at the beach, at a picnic, at a barbecue, whatever, where bottles are not allowed, definitely go for the Dale's Pale Ale. I would give it a 4.5. I really liked it. Now, the only reason why I wouldn't give it a 5 is it might have been a little too much on the bitter side from the can. But all in all, it's a great... interesting, different kind of canned beer than what you're used to. And with that, I would also say with the Buck Bean Black Naughty, I'll give that one, actually give it a 4. It's very different. Having this style of beer out of a can and it actually working, I thought was good. Very drinkable. It was a little thin, but that kind of added to the drinkability. You could have a few of these at your outdoor event at the park, and you know, bring a 4-pack of this and impress some people. Be like, wow, check this out, I got this black naughty lager in a can and it's actually pretty good. So yeah, I give it a 4. Buck Bean, baby.
Sweet. And for my pint ratings this week, with the Dale's Pale Ale, I'm right there with Toby. I'm gonna give it a 4.5 pints. No question. I mean, if you're at a place that you can't have bottles, this is perfect. It's a great session beer. It's bitter and hoppy, but not too hoppy. It's even, you know, pouring it into the glass, it's a very good example of a pale ale style. I mean, just in general, it's a really good beer. Mm. For my fat tire, we were talking a little bit off
mic
about, yeah. Trying to think. It's not off camera. It's off mic. A little off mic about Fat Tire and how it's probably our least favorite of the New Belgian style of beers that they put out.
Which is sad because it's their flagship, undoubtedly.
Yeah. But it's also their most palatable for non-beer drinkers, which is why it's their flagship. That being said, I would give it a 3.5. It's not a bad beer by any means. It's a good session beer. It's decent. It's got the... you know, good. There's a lot of biscuity malt, in case I didn't say that during my review. but it's good. Yeah, so you can reach them at www.newbelgium.com. And for the Dale's Pale Ale, you can go to www.oscarblues.com. That's OSKARblues.com. You guys got any websites you want to throw out there real quick?
I would say check out New England Brewing Company. It's newenglandbrewing.com. They have a few other choices to choose from. It was very unexpected, but good beer. So check them out, New England Brewing Company.
Also, you can look into Buckbean Brewing Company, and they are buckbeanbeer.com. And I mentioned in my Hop Topics about that mini beer festival in Portland, Oregon, the last weekend in August. That's pdxgreendragon.com for more info.
Awesome. You can follow us on Twitter at Beer Coasters Pod, or you can follow us individually. Mine is B Coaster Chris.
I am Beer Coaster Mike.
And I'm Beer Coaster Toby.
You can also search for us on Facebook. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast, and you can become a fan of the Beer Coasters.
Yeah, that's cool.
Podcast.
Now you can become a fan. Awesome. I'm a fan of many things. If you know me on Facebook, you know that I'm a fan of many things, including bacon and sunflower seeds. And
other inanimate
Beer Coasters Podcast. You can reach us individually. Our emails are mine is Chris at beercoasterspodcast.com.
I am Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
And that would make me Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. You can email us your backwash at, guess what, backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com. You can leave audio backwash one of two ways, one on the website and click on the call me button, or you can dial 972-914-8502. You can post your comments directly on the website for each episode.
And that website would be beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe in iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters. We're there. Subscribe to it. It's awesome. And you can check back on our website every Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters. See what we're drinking next week and join us.
And tell your friends' friends, get as many people to listen as you can. Thanks for listening.
Support your local brewery. Drink local, because local's fresh. Don't drink and drive.
Fresh hops.
You guys have any last minute things you want to throw out there before we close out the show?
Well, Charlie went to Tornado, and I would say check it out.
Yeah, but not the Tornado in San Francisco. Well, yes, the Tornado in San Francisco.
Check that one out, too.
The Tornado in San Diego as well. Same guys. Two places. Kick ass, buddy.
Excellent. We already missed the Stone anniversary party, so we can't mention that.
Yeah, we know we missed it. Yep. Again.
Yep.
And with that, I think we will close out our show. Thank you for listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast. Listen again next week.
Cheers, buddy.
In a can. Cheers in a can.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week.